it to 65, welcome to a new chapter in your life where you'll have the energy and me time to enjoy family, friends, travel, whatever you want. But what about Medicare? It seems like someone tried to develop the most complex, opaque system to cover your medical needs as a senior. Good thing there's T65 and Beyond, your healthcare translator. And good thing this educational resource exists on the radio every week. Welcome to Medicare U. Here are your hosts, Andrea and Joe.
Hello, class. Welcome. Another session of Medicare U is here for you. I don't know, is that good?
We're good. Here for you. Very good, Joe.
Like a good neighbor. How are you, Andrea?
Oh, I'm wonderful. And you, Joe?
Doing good. For the first day of official day of spring.
Yes.
I'll have you know, I had to scrape my windshield off this morning.
Well, I know. And we're so used to being Florida-like up here. It's so brisk and cold.
It is. Bob, how are you today?
I'm doing fine. You in the back there. Let's take our seats, please. If you haven't noticed, class has started.
They're running around.
That's right. Make sure those pencils are sharp.
See, you're too easy on the class, Andrea.
I know.
And don't jab each other with them either.
Oh, and that's been said to me lots of times going, oh, man, you are just too easy on people. Oh, dear.
Well, that's what we like to do. We try and be easy, right?
Well, yes, we do.
Very amiable.
And, yeah, get along, go along. That's us.
We don't create a bloodbath where we work.
No, we don't. Oh, my goodness.
We don't bloodbath. Just caught that. Oh, my gosh.
I
love how the media just got roasted on that.
Oh, the nuggets.
I love how they just get tied up to the one word.
Right.
What was the other one that used to really go nuts? Constitutional crisis. Remember when that was a
oh, yes. that was a
phrase
of the
day?
Crisis,
yes.
Yeah.
So,
but, yeah.
I had to get that in.
And insurrection. Yeah. Insurrection.
Oh,
insurrection.
God.
Insurrection.
Yes. Oh, it was terrible. Insurrection.
Oh. It's going to be nonstop from here on out.
It's just getting worse and worse.
But it
tells you how low they must be if this is the only thing they can come up with.
Well, that's the thing of it. I'm like, you know, all the negative that's coming out is just too much.
Could it be that when he speaks, there's nothing he can stand on?
It could very well be.
Any good?
I know. Well, you know, if you shout it, it must be true.
Well, I guess even Obama's getting fed up with him because he's worried about his legacy.
Exactly. And the problem is, of course, Joe wants to out-liberal Obama. It's like this crazy ego competition. And Obama's like, no, there's a certain point at which you have to back off. You have to just say, you know, we can't push this agenda any harder. But, you know, Biden, first of all, is nuts and he's senile.
Right.
And he's a total egomaniac. So
yeah.
I don't think he's really aware of much. I think he's told what to say, obviously, whoever writes the teleprompter. So he, you know, you're going to lean the left. Okay. Well, he's got a pair of new sneakers.
I saw that.
Going to help him walk.
I saw that. And,
therapeutic shoes.
Yes.
He doesn't wear regular presidential shoes.
No. No, he has special sneakers to keep him. And Gutfeld, I don't know if you watch the show. I had a laugh. They had the prototype. They were Frankenstein shoes. But all right, we really shouldn't make fun of the poor guy. I mean, but he is the leader of the country.
He is. And everybody's
this is what he's
watching him.
Projecting, yes, people should.
That's what I'm worried about.
Yes. So, okay. That being said.
I just have to – one thing, Joe.
Yes.
One thing.
Yes.
Chuck Schumer's response to Netanyahu, advising Netanyahu what to do. That really tickled me. I was like, when Netanyahu came back and said, mind your own business, I was like.
Well, you know, that would be like Putin calling up the United States.
Yes.
Joe.
Yeah.
What is going on there? Change your program. Or we get new elections over there. I mean, it's idiotic. This is, you know, Israel. No matter what your stand is, okay, if you're pro-Palestinian
right.
or pro-Israeli, okay, you don't tell another country that it's a democracy. Are they considered a republic in Israel, would you say? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so
yeah, absolutely.
You're going to tell them when to have elections and stir people up?
It's nuts.
Right.
And, you know, that's all this country pandering to crazy people.
True.
You know, telling them what to do.
True.
Thing, I wonder, isn't the Knesset, isn't that a parliament?
I think it is.
Yeah, I think there's a parliamentary dimension to that.
But can they have elections whenever they want?
Or yeah, they have now that we're talking about it out loud, I think it might be a parliamentary republic. I'll look it up. We'll put our crack research team, Eli, on it.
Yes, indeed. With Google. Google will have to be involved.
But, you know, it was likened to, you know, another country during World War II telling the United States, now listen, I'll go in there and kill all those Germans. Leave 25% of them there. You know.
Jeez.
You know, it's just, look, at nothing's being handled correctly. You know, and again, I don't know. Again, I'm going to go out on a limb. Weren't we based on Christian Judeo cultures?
That's what I thought.
Pretty much. So, you know, now you have an influx of every other culture coming in here trying to direct the way things need to be. And I'm not going to go any further on that.
Yeah, like I said, I hear you.
Here we go. Israel is a parliamentary democracy. Its governmental system's based on several basic laws enacted by its unicameral parliament, the Knesset. And the chief of state, the president, is elected by the Knesset. So there's your representation for a five-year term. That's kind of the way that goes.
Oh, five okay. years. Okay. So,
yeah.
Well, Putin won again. What a surprise.
Surprise.
I was shocked. What did they do to his opponent? Jail him? Try and strip him of every asset known to man and then kill him? That doesn't go on.
Oh, you mean
on,
like
does
Trump?
It? Is that going on? You know what? I learned something. We're getting a little bit off track, but to appeal that crazy penalty, that was it, $450 million? You need to come up with $450 million to appeal it?
Really?
I think he needed $100 million, but he couldn't get it. No,
he was trying to settle for $100 million.
Oh, and they wouldn't accept it?
And they wouldn't accept it.
Is that the New York thing?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Got it.
So they already put up $100 million for that other frivolous suit there that he won, that somebody won. But again, and not just it's Trump. I mean, no matter, as an American, think about this.
I know.
You get fined some ridiculous amount that obviously you're not going to be able to really come up with. So while you're appealing the problem, you are going to lose your business.
Yes.
To do that.
That doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't. And here's a question. If this thing gets kicked out of court or reduced to maybe like a $50 million fine, can he go after the state of New York?
That money has to be returned, shouldn't it?
You know, or if she starts seizing assets.
That's crazy.
Which isn't as easy as it sounds. Okay, she's making it sound like she's going to go to Trump Tower on Monday and padlock the door. You know, there's a longer process to that.
Yeah, she has to get a judicial order.
But again, I always thought if you were appealing something, you didn't have to put up the actual fine before appealing. It just doesn't make sense. As a citizen, what's your rights?
I wonder if there's an appeal to this order. You know,
it'd be interesting to see how it plays out. But as a normal citizen, like I was telling Andrew, okay, let's say you were fined $100 million because somebody didn't like the radio station here. Okay, and you're like, I can come up with $30
million. Right.
But to come up with $100 million, I'm going to have to tap into my assets of the station. Why?
Exactly.
It just doesn't seem right.
Why would you – and shouldn't the appeal stop everything?
Exactly. That's what I thought
the
appeal
the
was. Yes, because – okay, if you have to sell off things to come up with the cash to make the appeal, and then you win the appeal, now what?
Right.
You've lost the asset. So I don't. I learned something. I thought it was much more easier or fairer. And like I said, not this is Trump in this case, but that could be any American
citizen.
Oh, it
could be anybody. Yes.
And, you know.
How do you get that money back?
You would if the appeal is in your favor, you would get the money back. But now I would say I would want that money back with interest and
right.
then some, you know, if it were me. I'll never be in that situation, but I don't know. It just it seems crazy, you know, what goes on.
Yeah, I just don't understand it.
And you have to apply, no matter if you like Trump or you hate Trump, just apply what's happening to him to your own self.
Yeah.
Because what's their famous thing? Nobody's above the law. I mean, they come after you.
Well, that's what I worry about.
And even they were saying possibly the banks in New York and these insurance companies are reluctant to give him the cash to help him out because they'll get singled out.
Oh.
Now think about that.
Yeah.
Okay? You're the bank,
right.
The Bank of Andrea. And you're like, okay, I'll here.
Here's your money.
We'll cover this.
Right.
You'll be up for investigation within an hour.
Now I'm the target.
Yeah, absolutely. So, all right.
Oh, boy. Here we have a snowball effect.
Yes, yes, literally, on a day when it's snowing.
That's true.
But we'll get back to topic.
Yes, we will. We are T65 and beyond, right, Joe?
Yes, we are.
And you can call us at 585-485-0328. 585-485-0328. And we are Medicare brokers. And with a little bit, when we're on topic, we do talk about Medicare.
Yes, yes we do. Yes, we do. We don't usually talk politics in the office.
Well, no, we don't.
And,
No. And only when we get together here, right?
And there you go. There you go. I have had it brought up in the office a few times, but we don't like to tread there too much.
Gosh.
I'm going to bring something up, and you can stop me if you don't think it's appropriate. But we're mentioning people that get benefits, but they could lose their benefits if they put in too many hours at work.
Yes.
And I don't know, just to give it. Can you give an example? We don't need names or anything, whatever.
Okay, let's just say that you can. Your maximum that you are allowed to make to get full benefits, being dual eligible, Medicare and Medicaid eligible, and you're under 65, because you were disabled, okay, you are allowed to be in Medicare after 24 months, and so that's how you've become dual eligible. Well, you get the benefit of having a medical system, okay, and you get the benefit of having Medicaid, which is also a medical system. But on top of that, there's enhanced benefits that go along with that that you could get, such as SNAP benefits, which are food benefits, and they do come in handy. All right, but when you are a working individual, and a lot of people do like to work, you can't make more than $19,000 a year if you're single. So in those instances, there's a lot of people that decide that they know specifically how many hours a week and at what rate they're going to be working in order to maintain full benefits. That's what we were talking about.
Okay, so you have, and again, listen, they are entitled
to
what they get. So we're not, really going after the person per se, but the way the system is set up. Now, you mentioned that you talked to someone that is ahead of a bus driving in a school district.
Yes.
And what was she telling you about?
Well, she was telling me that they're short-staffed and they do need to have bus drivers working extra hours. But she has a group of people that are saying, no, I can't work that many hours because I'm going to lose my benefits. And so they've got to hire more people or find more people to hire and keep a broader range of people on the payroll in order to cover, because the current staff can't work the hours because they run the risk of losing the benefits. But when do the benefits, okay, are so rich that it outweighs you working more and succeeding? That's my question.
That is a good question. And why is it like that?
I don't know. I wouldn't mind if we had a system where we, maybe we would keep, okay, you wanted to work more, that's fine, but you don't lose all your benefits.
No.
Let's reduce some things.
Right. You're making $10,000 over to receive your benefits. Okay, we'll cut your benefits back a little bit.
Yeah, we're not going to cut $10,000 worth of benefits.
Right.
Right.
Right. But incentivize the people that they could and should work. And a lot of people do want to work, but
they do.
They're put in this situation.
Right.
Geez, if I,
actually a no-win situation.
It is. And I have another friend that owns a business, same thing. He's got a few employees, and they nobody wants to put in over 20 hours a week because,
right.
well, I'm going to lose this. And he said, did it ever occur to you, put in 40 hours or more, you'll be way ahead of the game with money that you have in your pocket that you could afford, you know.
But then I'll have to work all the time.
here's one that I've heard. I've got two kids. How am I supposed to go out and work? Well, let's see now. Are you married? No, you're not. Okay. Well, see, now that's a problem because what you're supposed to do, the idea is you grow up a little bit, okay? Then you get into an adult relationship and you have somebody who can help out, somebody who also is gainfully employed. And between the two of you, you're starting to work your way up the ladder of success. And then when you're able to afford it, then you have children.
Well, in a perfect world,
I
would
agree.
Well, in a sane world.
In a sane world. But here's the thing. See if this would make sense. Okay. Because, you know, all right, the woman's in the situation, two kids, no, can't get a job. How about if you put these kids in daycare? Okay. Now, let's say daycare is $500 a week, $700 a week for the kids. Okay. And she's working. But she takes home $700 a week. But obviously she can't pay the, you know, I would say, okay, I'm going to extend the benefit to you a little bit. I'm going to help you out with the child care.
Yes.
Provided you work.
Right.
Okay. So if you're working gainfully employed 40 hours a week, I will give you a proportionate amount to help you pay the daycare.
Absolutely,
okay?
Joe.
Do you think that's a better situation? I think it would help the person self-respect, for
no.
want of a better word.
No, I'm
really?
Going to say no.
Oh,
Because you're still. I mean, you're positing, I assume here, a mom, right? I mean, that's the typical situation. They wind up with the kids. All right, so you make $35,000, which is not a bad starting salary for somebody who's, you know, like a young person of child rearing age and all that other stuff. Okay, great. So let's say she's making $35,000, and that wipes out the cost of the child care. There's still not a dad in the house. There's not a father to help you raise these children. And we're supposed to have a mom and a dad.
You're addressing the issue head on, and you're right. But, again, where do we find a dad?
The guy who is responsible for the existence of the children.
Yes, if he's around.
If that's a quality person. You know, sometimes we don't always meet quality individuals.
Or someone else. It doesn't have to necessarily be the biological dad.
True.
Could
Very
be a
true.
Decent guy who's
yeah, right.
who's willing to take on this young mom and her existing children, and that's I fully admit that's a taller order to fill.
It is. It really is, and that's the problem in this country. Okay, there's so many households without a father figure, without a role model for these kids, and now you're growing up with people that have no respect for authority. They're just in a bad path and no one to correct it. I don't know, you know, there used to be what programs like Big Brother or, you know, where you can mentor some of these mm-hmm. kids.
They still exist.
And, you know, maybe pump some money into that because that is the root of the problem. Okay. I mean, if you did a study, I'm sure 90% of these, so-called problem child, criminal, future criminals have that one common denominator. And again, you know, how do you fix it? It's a terrible social problem, but
it's been set in motion by government, and so you have all of the it has the imprimatur of authority, and young people are very susceptible to that. So
if you go back, this all stemmed from LBJ, okay?
And, yes, it does.
And the programs were actually set up to break up families, and I'm not going to single blacks and whites. The incentive was just have as many kids as you want and we'll pay you. We'll substitute the role of daddy. So, okay, so daddy doesn't have any responsibility whatsoever. So he can go off and sell drugs, hang out, do whatever he wants to do. They really broke up these low-income families with these kind of programs.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you think, you know, and again, I don't want to just make it a racial okay, but if you think back to maybe in the 40s and 50s, and I will use blacks as an example. Many of them they did very well in their schools, in their neighborhoods. Okay, they ran, they did everything they were supposed to do. Okay? They mom, dad, kids, taught them the right things. Then the government comes along and started changing stuff for them and desegregating the schools. I guess it's good, naturally, but I've read where a lot of these black schools in the 40s, 50s, the 20s, did well, did yes. very, very well.
Yep.
Well, they were community schools, and you studied with your group, your
exactly.
people that lived in your community.
Exactly. And again, now with desegregation, okay, listen, if you're a minority and you live in a neighborhood, you should be allowed to go to the school that's in your neighborhood.
Yes.
Okay, so that's a given. But again, the breaking up of a lot of these schools, now I'm going to – this might be our last show. I don't know what I'm going to say. I watch Amos and Andy. Okay. That's only one reason I bring up this TV show. Okay. I was given a bad rap, banned, and, it's racist. If you watch that show, okay, you have a couple of characters that are goof-offs and, always getting into trouble, as you do with all the white sitcoms of the day.
Right.
Okay. So, but I notice if you watch the program, there are police officers, real estate agents, lawyers, doctors, people in the community that are of color that are fine, upstanding citizens. Okay? They have nice homes.
Right.
So they're not portrayed in a negative light. It's just a couple of characters that are in the show that are, so it's just, I don't know. It just tells you how back in the day. I want to liken it to maybe like Life of Riley. That's a sitcom from where should we judge all white men on Riley?
And Tom Gillis next door.
Right.
Gillis,
I mean, they were the characters, but everybody else was okay. So,
well, and you don't have to go back that far. I mean, sure, Amos and Andy. Okay, that was a lightning rod because the reason for that was what pulled back the hammer and put the finger on the trigger there was in the 1940s, the radio version of Amos and Andy by Freeman and Gosdell, mm-hmm. there were two white guys who were, imitating
right.
blacks. And whenever the African-Americans would complain about that radio show as being racist, they would say, who says they're black? The guys that are doing these characters are actually white. Why are you assuming it's about blacks? Then it became literal when it went on TV, and that's what the problem was. And, of course, it was written by white writers, and it was produced by Hal Roach Studios, the guys that did The Little Rascals.
I'm going to – before we go to break, again, the guy's name was Tim Moore that played the Kingfish. This guy is a Shakespearean actor.
Yeah, it was fantastic. The actors were great.
Educated, smart, the whole thing, he played that character. But this is a very well-educated person in the theater. Now his name escapes me, the one that played Andy. Okay, but if you do some research, this guy was a film producer and director, black cinema. He did a film in 1941 that I think won some awards. This was an intelligent person. These aren't, you portray the character, but it doesn't mean that's what you are.
But you have to go back that far, though, Joe, either. I mean, you got the Jeffersons, which was a spinoff from All in the Family.
Mm-hmm.
And, you talk about we couldn't do Amos and Andy today. Heck, we couldn't do All in the Family today.
Right.
No, you couldn't. You couldn't. And I don't know what's changed. But I put some episodes on of Amos and Andy for my grandsons. I want you to watch this show, and then we're going to talk about it afterwards, what their take was. And it was interesting what they had to say.
How about
they saw it for the humor? Okay, they didn't come away thinking that these are terrible people.
Well, your grandkids, Joe, I would gather to say, were not brought up as victims, so they don't have that chip on their shoulder.
No, Bob, they're white privileged children, and they just have things that you can't believe. Each child's worth $1 million just for being
Lord
what they
Joe.
Are.
And it was just given to them, too. You know.
It was.
They didn't earn it.
It was, Grandpa had to work for it. But anyway, oh boy, we're getting a little off course here. So let's take a break, regroup, and let's teach some class.
All right.
It's coming again this weekend. WBBF Million Dollar Weekend. Hear all
all your favorite WBBF hits of the present and the past on the station with young ideas.
WBBF.
Hey, a little nostalgia going on here. See if Joe can identify this one.
Well, I'm sure the Busy Bee played this this song.
It wasn't the Busy Bee by that time.
I wasn't. Okay. No.
Every time I move, I lose when I let them in. And every time I turn around, I'm back in love. I get mixed emotions. It's the way my feelings.
We can't do all doo-wop in '50s and '60s.
No, we can't. And I should know. Good song. Is the title going to come up? In the words,
you're waiting for the hook. I know.
Here
it comes. Dave.
Every time I turn around, I'm back in love again.
There, there's the title. He just sang it.
I was going to say Sam and Dave, but with the women singing in the background, no.
No, it's a group called LTD, and it was Back in Love Again. The early disco era.
Yeah, LTD. I've seen that group back when I was programming jukeboxes.
There you go. Big hit.
Very good.
More to come here on Medicare U from T65 and beyond. Who you can reach by calling
585-485-0328. 585-485-0328.
And we are really going to talk about Medicare today. It's coming up.
Introducing a sobering and unavoidable truth. The latest advancements in artificial intelligence have made cyber attacks easier than ever before. Cyber criminals are relentlessly targeting your business right now, seeking the tiniest opening in your defenses to drain your accounts and steal sensitive data. Your finances and your customers' trust are on the line. Call the experts at Simple Tech Innovations now at 585-999-TECH to secure your business today. Don't wait until it's too late. Make the call today. 585-999-TECH.
Inside the Taylor Laboratories.
Hey, Tony, what you doing?
A little experiment, Zach. Look what I have under the microscope.
Ugh, what's that?
A sample of indoor air.
How can it be that dirty? Don't AC and furnace filters help?
Only with dust, Zach. But when Taylor installs a whole house APCO air purifier to detox the air, odors, chemicals, mold, bacteria, and viruses are removed.
For clean indoor air.
Yep. Ain't science awesome?
Taylor, 500 help.
Are you looking to update the kitchen, bath, or flooring in your home? Whether it's cabinetry, carpeting, hardwood flooring, tile, or kitchen and bathroom remodeling, Claridge Design Center in Chi Lai Paul Plaza is the place to start. At Claridge, the visions and ideas you have for your home are developed with the experienced Claridge designers to make your dream project a reality. And the quality of service you receive at Claridge is second to none. For more information or to schedule an appointment, call Claridge at 889-5800 or visit their website, ClarageDesignCenter.com.
The Livingston County Department of Health needs volunteers for the Medical Reserve Corps. If you're an active or retired licensed healthcare professional or just a community member who wants to help, we need you. Put your skill and energy to work improving emergency response. Free education and training provided. Work with peers in critical settings. Make a difference in your community. Google the Livingston County Department of Health and email us, including MRC in the subject line, or call 243-7524.
All right.
Medicare U on the WYSL stations.
1-0 here with Stump and the Joe. Let's try it. This one.
On Lover's Island. This is,
I think Toronto, Joe. The Blue Jays.
Very good. This is a very pretty song.
It is.
It's a nice record.
Glad I got the time. Do you know the label of this?
I don't. I'll look it up for you. Okay, and here we go on Medicare U. Some Medicare discussions.
Yes. Now we're going to go to Medicare Island.
Well, last week I brought up the statement that President Trump had, cutting Medicare. You know, when we go into these, anytime there's an election year, it always seems like Medicare and Medicaid get brought up and these are going to get cut. Well, last week on Tuesday, I said that, you know, we're going to see it again. And lo and behold, it was, I think it on last Monday, that President Trump was just a soundbite again, where he said there's a lot of things we could do revamping Medicare and Medicaid. Okay, so everybody took that as a cut. All right, now, what I did was I dug a little bit further into that, and what it means is looking at where the fraud is. Now, Medicare and Medicaid, think about that as a big trough of food. Okay, now, when you put out a big buffet, everybody's going to go for the shrimp. Okay, so the shrimp in this is Medicare, and there's a lot of people that bill Medicare inappropriately in order to get more reimbursement. So that's where we need to make the cuts, and that's where we need to keep on top of the situation. So it's my interpretation that that's what was meant by going, okay, we need to, there's a lot of things that we could do to revamp those programs. What do you think, Joe?
I am in 100% agreement. And I just had a thought when you said inappropriately billed. If you catch a 94-year-old person that's, you know, living by themselves, still pretty sharp.
Yes.
But they go to the doctor for this or that. I don't know. Like, normally, your insurance will send you a statement saying, you know, we did this and mm-hmm. we paid that.
Right.
But what if they're not really on top of it? Or a family member that's, you know.
Exactly,
hey, I took mom
Joe.
To the doctor. I don't know what they did, you
yes.
know. But so, again, you know, people be held accountable for this.
Exactly.
It's amazing. Every now and then you'll read the headlines where they do catch these people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just $10,000. This
no.
is in the hundreds of millions
no.
in fraud
exactly.
that goes on. And, you know, again, like Trump or hate him, his big thing has always been going after fraud and waste.
Yes.
So.
And rooting that out.
And here's another thing, okay? Again, they always blast the Republicans are going to cut this and that. Let's be realistic here, okay? If nothing is done, how long is Medicare going to sustain itself?
Not very long.
We have another 8-9 years?
Yeah, if that.
And, you know, so again, yeah. let's check on people's eligibility. All right? You can't, common sense will tell you that you cannot add millions and millions of people to the dole that have never paid 1 cent in taxes, are not governments, they're not citizens. Okay? Let's look at that for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
How does that sustain?
You can't.
So
you can't raise taxes to that amount.
So my question to Biden or any other fellow Democrat, what are you going to do when the well is dry?
How are you going to finance it?
A plan for this?
Right.
Or are we just going to wait till it becomes a crisis and nobody gets anything anymore?
I know.
Social Security. Things need to be done. And it's not eliminate Social Security.
No.
Okay? I think a lot of the proposals are saying even who is ever on Social Security now is not going to see a cut.
Exactly.
Okay? But you do have to change the parameters. There was a gentleman, if I could find this, I'll bring it back next week. Brilliant. Way of approaching the Social Security problem.
I'd be interested in hearing
and
that.
It started yeah. out with, I think, $150 trillion. I don't know, that sounds right. $1.5 trillion in a fund specifically for Social Security. And then off of that, be allowed to invest it
yes.
in the stock markets. And, you know, it's if you think about it, okay, that money will grow. Rather than, I don't know what they do now with the Social Security fund.
I don't
besides
either.
Tap it for other things.
They spend it.
You know.
I know.
But it was a good, if I can get this,
yeah.
I'll bring it in. I saw it on the news. I want to say maybe Monday.
Okay.
Yesterday. So I'll double check it.
Yeah,
if I can get some more
great.
Information. I thought it was an interesting proposal. And I thought, well, here's a guy that is looking ahead and wants
yes.
to do something.
Yes, and I'm wondering why is it allowed and appropriate for the Medicare funds and the Social Security funds to be tapped for other purposes? Why is that okay?
It shouldn't be, and I don't know, at one point, was it back in the 70s or even earlier, where they decided to tap into the Social Security funds that with IOUs?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was the genesis of Al Gore talking about the lock box, and that was in the 90s. So it had to have taken place several years before that.
Did they really do that? The IOUs and
yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
Yeah, we'll take out $450 million towards something.
Well, did they pay that back? Did no, anybody back check
no,
that?
No, no. The IOU is still floating.
See, that's the stuff that really annoys me.
And nobody, they only just look at, the, they want to make cuts and they want to do this. Let's look at what the real problem is and how can this thing sustain itself.
Yes.
And I'm not going to throw the blame on Democrats 100%.
Oh, they're all...
Both parties are guilty
yes.
Of just shooting this thing down the road.
Exactly.
And, hey, sooner or later, you're going to get to the wall. And then what do we do?
Right.
So, again.
And then there's the borrowing, too. Don't get me started on
oh,
that.
Oh, stop that.
Oh, yeah.
That.
Well, it's a...
stop that.
Yeah. It's crazy. So, again, guys, it's not so much... Don't listen to the nonsense that if you vote Republican, you're going to lose all your benefits. Because you're not.
Right.
Okay? And so... Again, we have something. You want to talk about decreasing benefits? Let's thank Mr. Biden and his new sneakers for passing legislation many, many years ago when he was a senator to tax Social Security benefits.
I know
it. Okay, now that's a wonderful Democrat program. And you talk about what did Biden accomplish? Well, let's thank him for that. It's because of him that your Social Security benefits are taxed to begin with.
I actually didn't know that.
Yeah, so is that, I don't know if he was the main, he was in on that whole thing. He pushed it through.
Got it.
And here's a guy that really didn't do much for legislation in the 50 years, but whatever he does have to show for it usually doesn't affect it for the good. So I don't know, would you consider that a form of losing your benefits a little bit if you're taxed
absolutely.
On them?
Absolutely.
It's even worse than that. It's also losing the benefits for your children and grandchildren, yeah. As well as the borrowing that takes place. Because, you know, one of the bedrocks of our civilization here is no taxation without representation. Well, the big undermining of that took place with the income tax, 13th Amendment. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Woodrow Wilson, the great progressive. And so what we're doing is we're just saddling all of our kids, grandkids, and their kids and grandkids, should the country last that long, with all this debt.
That's right.
But how do you stop that spending is the question.
Balanced budget.
Where do you rein it in?
Well,
nobody wants to do without.
Do away with the continuing resolutions, the CRs.
And how many bills do you think are passed using Medicare and Social Security as a pawn?
Oh, yes.
And, well, you know, we're going to, if you don't do this, we're going to do that.
Right.
Somebody, what do they call that when they keep slapping stuff on these bills? Not pork, is it?
Well, there's pork, but there's, there's a slang term for it, and it's I'm not summing it up now. Right now, but
earmarks. Earmarks.
Well, earmarks is the same thing as pork. Let's see. Christmas tree. Boy. Anyway, we get the concept. We know what it's all about.
Right. What about having our representatives not having a salary? Why don't they forego that?
Well, their salary is sofa change.
You know what? You don't get
really, is that right?
Oh yeah, they make like $175,000, but where they really make the money is with committee appointments, and when they really start to amass some political power, of course, now they've got the lobbyists.
All right, so how about cutting their pay when they reach $3 million in graft?
There should be a way to monitor that.
It's nobody wants to. You know, you're in the club. I could go in there.
But the rest of us are not in the club.
No,
the regular people are not in the club. So why can't we just eliminate any kind of money being flowing into Congress in their pockets?
That would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yes. That would stop the influence.
Let's say that you at T65 have figured out a way. You know, you got a great thing going, and yeah, you're picking up an extra $1 million a year on the side.
Right.
Okay. So you hire me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking, and I go, Andrea, come on, this isn't right. You can say, yeah, but it's legal. Yeah, but look what you're doing. Okay, so I want to blow you in. What are you going to tell me?
Joe, I'm going to give you a nice salary.
there you go. Or, you know, you're not going to play ball. You're not going to be here long.
Yeah.
And so maybe that sums it up. It's people go in, I think, with some of them with good intentions.
Yes.
But are quickly, changed and corrupted within months of being in. Again, you got to play along.
Agreed.
We have a representative in Monroe County that's a disgrace to representatives. Here's a guy. He votes 100% with whatever Democrat things come, whether it's good or bad. Okay, he's just a yes man. And, I've called his office a few times to no satisfaction.
Yeah.
So I feel disenfranchised. Should I? Nobody listens. This guy is careless.
But, he's typical. He's only typical. I mean, I'm not being an apologist for this. I think it's terrible. And I wish I could figure out a way out of it. But you're right. There is a corrupting process that takes place when you go to Washington. Everybody, fresh young ideologues show up. We're going to change the system. We're going to make it different. And they get the reward for their efforts is to get no committee appointments. They have no power. They will get no money from the campaign to help them. And here's the real problem, too. You have to – I can't remember what the number is. It's like $30,000 a day or $15,000, $20,000 a day just to run and maintain your seat. And if you don't have any primary challengers.
What?
You have primary challengers, that – the sky's the limit. And what they will do, not only will the party not support you, they'll sic a primary challenge on you.
Whoa!
So you got to raise this money, and you can't do this with $35 contributions from little old ladies back
right.
in the home district. Mm-hmm. You've got to get major campaign contributors, and if you don't have any power, they're not going to spend money on you.
How do the squad maintain their power?
I don't get it.
How do they get
ideology? Well, they're from specialized districts. AOC's district in wherever is the Bronx or Brooklyn is a tiny district. It really is, and they're all just lefter than left down there. Ilhan Omar is in Minnesota. Oh my gosh, I used to live out there. If you think Brighton is left wing.
Well, the people that support them have to be totally insane.
Well, yeah.
Or you have a district where only 10% of the people go out to vote. Because I want to say AOC doesn't win by much of a majority. Only 15% of the people in her district even bother to vote.
Yeah, something like that.
So, but again, with these programs, something's got to be done, folks. Okay, so don't go crazy when you hear that they need to make changes. Okay, it's your own. Look at your own budget. All right, if you're spending $15,000 a month, and it's going to run out in next April. Are you going to try and make a contingency plan, or just wait till you run out?
And the government just lets it run out. They don't have a contingency plan.
No, because somewhere they'll print it up, or I don't know.
That's crazy.
But and another thing too, I'm really noticing a little bit of a deterioration in the medical services that you get.
Yes, okay? I have too.
And it's sad. Okay, I'm witnessing it with my dad. The guy is going to be 95 years old. And don't get me wrong, okay, he does get excellent care. But time that you need to wait.
Agreed.
Now, I had a client, okay, that had prostate cancer. And he had to wait 6 or 8 weeks for the surgery. So he has a surgery. Well, now they found cancer in his bones.
Oh, no.
Now, here's the question you got to ask yourself. Could it be that 6 to 8 week wait caused
was
this?
Was detrimental to his entire health, yes.
I always thought, and you probably would know this better than me, but 15, 20 years ago, cancer, how long did you have to wait once they found something? How long before they would put you in surgery?
They were all over you.
No such thing as.
We can let that one ride. How do you know?
Right. So I always thought time was of the essence, but in talking to people, there are long waits from diagnosis to treatment.
Yes.
And,
And we're going to see more ads based upon that rather than late diagnosis from a doctor. It's going to be diagnosis to treatment. There was a lag time.
Mm-hmm. So, again, this is a new precedent, something we're going to have to get used to because of a shortage of doctors. I don't want to say it's government interference causing this, but
I don't think so.
But why? Here's something. We all remember the days when you called a doctor and usually they answered on the third or fourth ring.
Of course.
Even if they said, please hold a second, but you got the secretary that you knew.
Right.
And, you know, why is it now every doctor that you call, it's the same recording because it's either Rochester Regional or U of R Medical. It's like their main switchboard.
Yeah, they bought most of the practices.
And you have
it's
to go through
agreed.
That.
Yeah.
And you have to wait several minutes before you get a live person on the phone. And many times you have to press several numbers at different menus if you want this or you want that. Now, okay, I'm still a little sane, and I'm able to do this, okay? But, I think of my poor dad, again, who's pretty sharp.
They don't
want to wait. A little hard of hearing. Well, he's got to sit there for 15 minutes pushing buttons, and God help you if you press 2 when it should have been 3.
Start over. Yep.
So... And what happened?
And what about not talking to the person that you recognize and you need to get in urgently and the other person on the other end that's scheduling you could care less because that person is there as an hourly person and, I just do what I need to do and I don't need to fit in more people or understand where I'm going to reschedule other people.
It's crazy.
It's gone.
On that note, let's take a break. See if we can come up with a solution to this.
Okay.
First, before we do that, class, you'll want to jot down this number. This is T65 and beyond, as in turning 65 and beyond for Medicare brokers par excellence.
That number is 585-485-0328. 585-485-0328.
And going into the break, let's see if Joe knows this one.
Did they ever say a title? You don't know like I know? Sam and Dave?
You got it. Title and artist. Look at that, folks.
Good song.
Yep.
Cool song.
Yep, that golden era of Sam and Dave, the late 1960s. More to come here on Medicare U from T65 and beyond on the WYSL stations.
Debunking advertising from the law office of Christopher Johnson. One ad some injury attorneys inundate you with, what's your case worth? Call us and find out. You know, nobody can tell you, quote, what your case is worth over the phone. Nobody knows. The ultimate answer to, quote, what your case is worth involves weeks or months of research, evaluation, and preparation. Many factors go into any compensation you might get, like applicable law, who's actually at fault, how much insurance coverage there is, and many, many other factors. At the Law Office of Christopher Johnson, the singular focus is getting your life back on track after an accident or injury. That takes money, and it helps when the advice and legal advice you get has a one-on-one focus informed by straight talk. Christopher Johnson Attorney, car, truck, motorcycle accidents, personal injury, and DWI defense. Call 585-415-3803. 585-415-3803.
Hi, I'm Steve Tasker. Over the years, my wife Sarah and I have supported Heritage Christian Services and the work that they do to advance an inclusive and equitable community. Heritage Christian Services and their staff support people with intellectual and developmental disabilities by offering meaningful and diverse experiences. Like us, they believe that people are entitled to dignity, respect, equity, and justice, and that belief is reflected in all that they do. While disability services are what they were founded on, their work extends to offer life-enriching opportunities for people throughout the community through therapeutic writing, health and wellness services, and childcare, and more. Now more than ever, Heritage Christian Services needs your support to continue their work. Consider becoming a friend to Heritage Christian like Sarah and I did almost 20 years ago. You can choose to volunteer, share their job opportunities, or make a donation. To learn more, visit heritagechristianservices.org. That's heritagechristianservices.org.
The Livingston County Department of Health reminds you and your family, be sure you're prepared for emergencies by creating your own at-home emergency response plan. Prepare a kit including non-perishable food, water, flashlight, radio, batteries, blankets, and medications to supply you and your family for at least 2 weeks. Place these supplies in a secure place in your home. For more information on emergency preparedness, call the Livingston County Department of Health at 243-7299.
Medicare U on the WYSL stations.
All right, here we go. Oh, touch of nostalgia here.
WYSL Whistle Radio, where the music is.
All right, Joe, try this.
Got to take a pass on this one.
Really?
Yes.
Now can you take a stab at it?
Marvelettes.
You got it.
Got that sound, but I don't know the song. I'm sorry.
Someday, some way.
Is there a follow-up to Please, Mr. Postman?
Yeah, I think it was. I think it was about 62.
Very good.
Oh, and you asked about the label for the Blue Jays, Lover's Island. That was on Milestone. I'd never seen that label before.
All right. Well, covered a lot of ground today.
Oh, we did.
And I'm staring at a couple of these notes that you have here. You want to share them with us?
Yes. I thought, well, today's a good day to talk about Medicare and the Medicare cuts. And it's not really the cuts. It's going after fraud. So I've got some fun fraud cases. Okay. I've got a father and son duo sentenced to prison for $21 million Medicare scheme. Okay.
Father and son.
Yeah. You know what they did? Okay, the pair, along with others, conspired to commit Medicare fraud by billing the medically unnecessary durable equipment such as knee, ankle, shoulder, wrist, and back braces. Okay? They would, here's how it happens. All right? There's a father-son team. There might be more of them, okay, a collective group that actually gets Medicare numbers from previous clients, okay, and they start billing out for braces that were never ever written.
Are they like looking at other cases with it, like this person had a bad knee?
Yeah.
Let's bill them for a knee brace.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Or maybe we needed to have a knee brace and an ankle brace and a foot brace in order to make sure that knee was in proper alignment. So once the door is open, then they can bill for other things. Or maybe it's just a situation where you have that person comes back and it needs to be redone. And so you get it rebilled.
Now, they got this information from a third party?
Well,
or they're the third party that...
They could be the third party that does the braces.
And they were able to get this information.
They get the prescription from the doctor. Okay, and then then I come in with my prescription, with my Medicare card, all right? And then all of a sudden, it's, okay, well, here's my brace, and I get my ankle brace, but then, you know, all of a sudden what they can do is create other things that you need a knee brace with that, an arch support, other things that go along with it. So it's the add-ons.
It's amazing.
It's crazy.
I'm surprised you don't get any contractors in there. We had to build a ramp at their house.
Oh. The stupidest things go on. Here's one. Podiatrist convicted of a $4 million foot bath fraud scheme. Well, I didn't get into the particulars of this, and we can do that next week, but... Okay, it looks as though two in-house pharmacies within the podiatry clinic, okay? So there you have podiatrists in the clinic writing for in the in-house pharmacy for a foot bath and a foot-soaking cocktail to go in there. Capsules,
ginger ale.
Yeah, capsules, creams, powders, okay, that are not indicated to be dissolved in water, not even indicated to be water-soluble. But they were prescribed, and they went through.
Just blatant.
Yes.
Wow.
This is the stuff that, okay, $4 million here, $21 million there.
And you haven't even scratched the surface, I'm sure.
Exactly.
And these are kind of bizarre things. Like the medical durable goods there.
I know. Let me see if there's a date on this. No, there is not. But I can look. Oh, from October 2018 through September 2021. That's not that long ago.
No.
And now for the the duo with the braces. When was that? I don't see where there's a date on that one. The federal, okay. Well, they have sentenced 65 months and 12 months and one day, okay, for their role. Ah, crazy stuff.
This is
the waste.
The penalty seems stiff.
It is,
okay,
very
which is
stiff.
Good to discourage this type of behavior. But again, there's and you wonder how they got caught. Okay,
you
and
get
I'm hoping
into that.
That they yes, and I'm sure the government does have a lot of things that they can backtrack and check.
Right, but does this money ever get back into the Medicare?
No, probably
right.
Wouldn't bet on it.
Yeah. Somebody help
me. All right, we are out of time as we wrap up this week's show. Let's try Joe with one more Stump of Joe. British Invasion.
Since you have left me, I'm all alone. I need your help.
This guy, I know his voice.
Can't stand on my own. I want you back in. Oh,
all right, I'm going to hit the buzzer here. Zombies, I want you back again.
Ah, there you go. And you know what? That came out when my car radio wasn't working for that week, and I never heard it.
All right, that's
the zombies. I thought the voice sounded familiar.
Yeah, put your pencils down. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us for Medicare U from T65 and beyond on the WYSL stations. We'll see you next time.
Since you have left me, I'm all alone. I need your help, I can't stand on my own.